1017 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty in studio. Shreveport Police Chief Wayne Smith joining us. Chief, good morning.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so happy to be here.
We're glad to have you out here in our East Texas studios.
Absolutely.
You know, I was thinking, we're going to get to crime stats, but I was thinking yesterday, I had to go out to the landfill. And when I was driving out and I just passed the elementary school out there on Woolworth Road.
Walnut Hill.
Walnut Hill. Thank you very much. And then the sign said city maintenance ends. And I got to thinking, my gosh, Shreveport police, fire, it is such a sprawled area. We mentioned this before, but it just hit me yesterday. I thought, You've got to patrol this area. You're responsible for the safety of, say, those kids.
That is correct.
Then you go way out north Shreveport, and then you go further. I mean, it's just, what a daunting task.
Well, territorial-wise, with around 137 or so square miles, our city limits is, it's considerably large, and, you know, a lot of it is in a rural setting.
Yes. So it just hit me yesterday, and I just, again, commendations to you and your officers and department. You guys do a great job.
Our vehicles get a lot of miles on them. Yeah.
What do the numbers look like for 2025? You've wrapped it up. You've looked at all the data. It looks like, for most categories, pretty good news.
It is. Hadn't released the exact numbers yet. There still could be a couple coming in. But it looks like for 2025, things are headed in the right direction. In most major categories, things are down considerably, very noticeably. And one of the things that stood out to me that I'm so happy with, we encourage our community to call us immediately and let us, you know, attempt to mitigate a situation or circumstance before it comes violent. And I see that our actual calls for service are up.
Mm-hmm.
So
I saw a report. I'm not sure on which TV station. I would give them credit if I knew. But it from the LSUS data with regard to your calls, a ton of your calls have to do with mental health or other issues. They're not really even crime calls. That's a struggle, I guess, because you got to respond.
That is correct. And over the course of the last few years, all of our offices have received some specific training in how to recognize and deal with someone who is going through some mental trauma. And I see that the actual calls for service related to mental health calls are up considerably.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
One of the concerns that we were looking at some of the numbers are domestic calls. Those numbers are still very concerning.
Very much concerning. Probably 30% or so of our homicides involve domestic violence incidents. So they are up. Domestic calls are up.
Absolutely. I'm surprised it's that low, quite frankly.
Yes, sir. I am too.
And when we say domestic violence, we think, you know, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend. But that could be mother, child, grandmother. I mean, it's anything in that familial household, correct?
That is correct. If it's a domesticated kind of relationship between the victim and the suspect, it would be classified as domestic.
What are you doing to try to bring that number down? Are there some new efforts, some new trends that are working in other communities?
Absolutely. One of our first major attempts to do that is at our new North Market substation that's going to open. We are partnering with the Family Justice Center, and we will actually have an office inside of that substation where people can come and get assistance with getting restraining orders, getting a peace bond, getting assistance if they are the victim of a domestic violence, however that is.
The other thing regarding the violent crimes down, homicides down, what do you attribute that to, Chief?
Well, I don't contribute it to any one particular effort. It is the effort of everyone across our community, however big or small, what you've done to assist in that effort. But we have implemented some great strategies that appears to be having an effect. But overall, it's what everyone is doing to help.
Now, we are seeing, I know I see the beloved camera on I-20 every morning with the blue light flashing. Thank you for that.
The trailer.
Makes me slow down.
Right outside Independence Stadium.
You've got those all around town, and even private businesses now. I know some of the Circle K's, the Kroger stores, they've put them in their parking lots. Are the ones that businesses have, are they linked to your real-time crime center for the most part?
Usually the ones that businesses has are rentals, and some of the leasing companies that own them do link those to the real-time crime center. At this current point, we are over 2,200 camera feeds that are coming into the real-time crime center.
Does that include people's Ring cameras and that type of stuff?
Okay. Absolutely. And the council authorized me a while back to purchase a couple of more camera trailers because they are working out remarkable. And so that is in the process as we speak.
Let me ask you about the Ring cameras again, because people were suspicious when y'all first rolled this out. Oh, you're going to be able to use, you know, anything you want. Pitch that again. Why that's real important if folks have Ring cameras or their home cameras. You're not spying on their homes. You're only using that for when?
We're only using that is when something occurs in your neighborhood so we can get good leads to begin an investigation to bring the matter to justice. We're not there spying on individual homes at all. And without a doubt, before we use that data, you'll be talked to. You'll be consulted.
Okay.
Can you hang with us through the break?
Absolutely.
We're going to talk with Chief Wayne Smith, Shreveport Police Department. Take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport Police Chief Wayne Smith in studio, Mike and McCarty. Chief, in addition to the cameras and the real-time crime center, what other methods of technology are you implementing or maybe looking at or anything you can share with us? I know you don't want to give away all trade secrets, but...
Well, there's some great technology that exists out there. Going to chief conferences around the United States, you have the option of previews of what the future holds. The drone program, we may possibly expand that. There are robotic drones that stay perched now on top of buildings, on top of fire stations. And immediately when a call goes out, that drone takes flight, and it is sending back video. It can get there within 30 seconds or so, whereas a car, it may
take... Does it have to be piloted?
No.
Wow.
Nope. It's totally automated. So we're looking at maybe possibly that for the future, and
that's really cool.
The substations and the new headquarters, we unveiled kind of the new headquarters drawings and et cetera. Give us the timetable on, I guess, the next substation to open will be North Market.
That is correct. We expect to be making some direction probably within the next month.
Okay.
This month.
And then the other, the 70th and St. Vincent?
70th and St. Vincent. Construction is well underway. The safe room has been done inside. The parking lot has been done. The concrete has been poured. So they're making great progress. And I do expect here will sometime in 26 for that station to open.
Will there be a fourth? I know we have the one on Monkhouse already open. Will there be a fourth substation?
We are currently at a fourth location on Kingston Road, close to Burt Coombs, and I would expect sometime in the future we could head in that direction to actually build a fourth one. But right now we do have a fourth location.
That lease amount everybody was concerned about. What are we paying for that?
I don't know. We pay standard commercial lease. Okay. For facilities, no more than if you would lease something anywhere else. Standard commercial lease.
And what about the main headquarters building? What's the status of that? We got the drawings. It looks like things are starting.
It is. I would expect things there to move pretty swiftly. Probably latter 2027. That building should be near completion.
Wow, that's exciting. Cool. Let's change gears for just a moment. Let's talk a little Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras.
I can't believe it's already Mardi Gras. We already had king cake this morning.
We did.
Wow. And I'm sure there's a piece if you're interested.
Always.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Plans are already, obviously, I'm sure you guys have had meetings, plans in place. Are we working again with additional agencies, and how are we looking staff-wise?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, we just talked about that very thing Monday in my staff meeting, and my staff constantly works on it. It never ends. We know the parades that are going to take place and where they're going to take place. We've notified our offices of the draft. We have contacted other agencies to assist us. So mm-hmm. plans are well underway.
And you guys will have folks, you'll be using drones, the big, what's that big camera tower? What do y'all call that?
Skywatch.
Okay, and that'll
Skywatch
be out?
Skywatch trailers. Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
As you sit here this morning, having 40 plus years experience with the department.
Almost 46 headed that way.
Good night.
My gosh.
You only look like 58. But I'm curious, what is your biggest concern as the leader of keeping people safe, hundreds of thousands of people safe? What's your biggest concern as we head toward Mardi Gras and these monster parades?
Being able to maintain the level of service that our community has gone accustomed to, irregardless of, you know, the parades are an extra burden on the resources that we have, but we're still going to maintain the same level of committed service to those that don't attend the parades.
Is the biggest problem, I'm going to say it, and I may be people may get, is it people that overindulge? Is that probably your biggest problem, if you had to pinpoint it?
That definitely does add to it. Mm-hmm. Probably would be on the top tier.
Okay. Especially juveniles.
Absolutely.
That decide they're going to go out there and have a little fun, and they drink their ices that they've mixed other stuff in.
Absolutely. But contrary...
Wait, you mix stuff in an icy?
No, I've never done that. No, not me. No, not me.
But you know, due to our...
Or a Sonic drink? What?
You know, due to our emerging technology that it's just awesome, we are able to really focus in on things like that without have a body boots on the ground.
Wait, what now?
Technology is really an amazing thing. We're able to focus in on underage drinking without actually having to have boots on the ground right there looking at you.
Okay, I'm gonna obviously have to ask off mic.
Come on, have a good time, everybody.
Are you putting GPS things on vodka bottles now?
Could very well be.
let's talk about that, because the mayor made a good point a few weeks ago when he said, you know, yes, manpower is down, but because of technology, do we need as many as we used to need? That's a pretty valid point.
Sure. With more, you can do more. Mm-hmm. It depends on where you want to be and the direction that you want to go. With more, you can do more, without a doubt. And that's on both sides of the spectrum.
That's how companies feel, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Corporate.
How are we doing on getting the cars replaced? I know you have to get your orders in. I think you had to get them in by October. Are they starting to come in? Are things starting to move?
Not at this point. You know, our new budget obviously has rolled around, and we're ready to get started with our purchases for 2026. So as soon as I get notice from my administration that you are ready to go, we can call the manufacturer and says, put us in line. Mm-hmm. Send us some automobiles.
Where is your administrative team working out of? We know everybody's out of 1234 Texas. Where's Chief Smith's office and your team?
On South Point Parkway.
Okay.
Everyone is there.
Now, where is that?
South Point. The IRS office.
I don't know where that is, thank goodness.
By the Social Security. Right off of Ninth Street.
Right. That one. I know where that is.
It goes behind Walmart.
Behind the Walmart,
Street. Matter of fact, the Social Security Administration, IRS office, a daycare, and the next complex is SPD's. Big sign out front.
So
you can't miss
where's it. Where's the undercover division stationed right now?
I'm not sure. They're floating around somewhere or another.
Okay.
Chief, you're looking forward to, you had good numbers down in 2025. Are you predicting that trend is going to continue for this new year?
We're going to keep pushing in that direction. We got some new strategies, some new operations that we're going to begin here within the next couple of weeks that I'm quite confident is going to keep things headed in a positive direction.
Did you hear him say, GPS on tequila bottles? Did you hear him say that?
I know, that's interesting. That is very interesting. By the end of next year, you're hoping to be back, everybody back, except for the permanent substations, back at 123 Texas.
That is correct. That is correct.
Wow.
We're looking forward to that.
That's exciting.
Absolutely.
We are.
That's
exciting. Amazing.
It really is.
Great job that the architect and everyone did.
Very good. Chief, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Thanks
for
coming in.
Happy New Year to you.
I think there's king cake down the hall. You need to grab you some.
Y'all come see us.
All right.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Possibly some exciting news, new things happening at the boardwalk. I would love to see that property thrive again. Bossier City Councilman Chris Smith joined us yesterday and had a little insight. Hear what he's got to say right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Bossier City Councilman Chris Smith on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Chris, Bossier Mayor Tommy Chandler has intimated there are exciting things coming to the Louisiana Boardwalk. We just heard yesterday a new restaurant is going to be opening. Is that his big news, or is there more that you might could share with us?
Well, that is just, I think, a one piece of it, right? So a lot of people have been asking for what's going on at the boardwalk, lots of commentary around there. This restaurant is kind of involved with the Pickler brand that's coming. They're going to have a restaurant in there. And if I understand correctly, this is the first Pickler franchise that's going to have a fully operational restaurant inside of it. So it's kind of a test for them, too, to see how this might work nationwide. But there are, I don't want to get ahead of the ownership group or their people on the ground, but they do have a lot of very exciting things. And I think they're going to be having big announcements here rolling out pretty soon. But there is privately owned. The city doesn't own the boardwalk, but we've been heavily involved because we have an interest in seeing it be revitalized and grow. And so they have been working very hard, a lot of people helping, and there's about to be some big things coming.
Well, that's exciting.
When you say big things, give me the Chris Smith vision. What would Chris Smith like to see down there? What would be huge and would work?
Well, you have a large piece of real estate that's already established that you kind of have to work around. So what works in the space? I think we all can agree that retail isn't going to keep it thriving into the future. But in our digital age, coming out of COVID, a lot of people shop on Amazon nowadays or just shop online and get it delivered to you. But in the retail space, something that's working nationwide are micro stores. So you might have a Bloomingdale's micro store that has a few items that you could get, but not the huge department store. So that's something that you're seeing, but more the entertainment side of it. And I really think that's where boardwalk ownership is leaning heavily into is entertainment. What can we do to drive people to the Louisiana Boardwalk, the East Bank District, the Riverfront Development Area? How can we get them there? How can we get them to enjoy being there and come back, stay there, spend money? And I think that's where they're really leaning heavily. And that's what I'm excited about is the family aspect, the entertainment aspect, and giving people things to do. Because that's really the number one complaint we hear is there's just not a lot to do.
Well, we know that Chasing Aces has opened up down in that area along the river. The Pickler is coming. Those are both huge entertainment venues. What are some entertainment things that have worked in other areas that we might want to look at?
Yeah, so look, I think Chase and Aces is a great time. I took my kids there this past weekend. I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. And you're like, well, they wouldn't. They love Chase and Aces. They don't do well. You know, my son, the 2-year-old, will pick the ball up and throw it down the fairway, but he loves it.
I've been known to do that on the golf course, too, so.
But, you know, I was, but if I'm, if I had my ideal way, like, as a parent, I'm going to go where my kids want to go. Kids wake up and say, hey, Dad, I want to go here. Well, I'm going to go there with them, and I'm going to spend money. And so what is it that kids are doing that are making them excited? You know, that, there's a place over in Dallas. I think it's called Kids City or something like that. You know, it's like a gymnasium type thing. They can jump around. They can play, but they can build things. You know, my kids love when we go out of town, going to places like that. You know, we have a hidden gym. I mean, it's not really hidden. Everybody knows about it. But every time we go there, it's empty. But Southport Discovery Center is an incredible facility. And my kids love going there. We go there all the time. We buy the summer pass in the summertime so they can go as much as they want. But things that kids can just grab onto that can entertain them, parents will come and they will spend money to do that.
Let me shift gears real quick. Bossier residents are getting their water bills this week, and 10% increase on that. Explain why that was needed and what's that going to amount to for most folks?
Sure, it's going to be dollars is the increase. But look, back in a couple of years ago, the city of Bossier applied for a DEQ loan through the state of Louisiana to do a water line extension down in South Bossier along Barksdale Boulevard. One of the requirements of that DEQ grant funding was, hey, you got to do a rate study. The state wants to make sure that our water system is operating efficiently. We did a rate study, and as we expected, because of we were just coming out of COVID, we weren't making enough revenue to offset our expenses in our water system. During COVID, chemicals went up, prices went up on everything. And so it took us a while, and we were losing money. So the state came in and said, hey, you have two options. You can raise your rates so you can be self-sufficient, or you can pay back your DEQ loan and basically be ineligible for future grant funding. And so obviously that wasn't what we wanted to do, because as stewards of taxpayer money, if there's options where we can go out and do projects that cost the taxpayers little to nothing, then we want to do that. And so we don't want to be ineligible for future grant funding. So we had to look at it. We passed it. This is what's being lost on folks. We passed this either January of 2025 or December of 2024. We did a larger increase for all of 2025 and then this 2% for 2026, and that gets us to where we need to be. So this was passed 12 months, maybe even 13 months ago, and it's just something that the state said you have to do.
Councilman Chris Smith, Bossier City, real quick, tell me, where are we on term limits in Bossier? Is that a settled deal, or is there still more to come?
Term limits is a settled issue in the city of Bossier. It passed several months ago last year. It is what we have is a 3-term limit. And once you serve 3 terms, you are ineligible to serve again.
And so, the lawsuit's been dropped? The lawsuit that was pending over it, that's not still pending, is it?
Nope. Everything is completely settled in Bossier City. So, you know, for instance, I'm in my 2nd term. I can run a term, but then I can never run for a city council seat in the city of Bossier again.
So you can't sit out 1 term and then come back again for another 3 terms?
You cannot. No, that's what makes our version of term limits a little bit differently.
And it goes for the mayor, too, right?
Goes for the mayor, too.
Okay, great to know. Happy birthday to you, friend.
I appreciate it. Y'all caught me off guard with the singing, but I sure do appreciate it.
And please do me a favor. Encourage all Bossier businesses that you know. I'm doing a little drive for hats to keep my head warm. Any Bossier business that wants me to sport their hat, we're pushing here, and they can get in on it because I need a bald head.
Yeah,
warm up this bald head.
Your head, so.
Let us know, Chris. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Chris Smith, Bossier City Councilman. Coming up in about 20 minutes, Chief Wayne Smith, Shreveport Police Chief, going to talk 2025 crime stats. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
All right, the hats are starting to kind of pile up in here.
Yeah, I got another one that's going to start next week from my buddies at AirPro in Bossier, a great company.
This is so cool.
Some of my favorite companies. You know, and we're calling it, it's kind of cool. It's hats off to our community. Some of my favorite businesses, if you want a little spotlight shown on your business and you have a logoed hat, I'll wear your logoed hat for a week. You're actually going to get to take over our Keel website. We'll put your banner stuff up.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to do daily commercials for you. I mean, it's going to be a really cool little promotion. And all because you're going to help keep my bald head warm because it's cold.
Now, again, Erin shaved her head because we raised the required amount of money for Operation Santa Claus.
Yeah, more than 25 G's.
And that was Monday, right? This week, Monday.
Yes.
Grace Ann and brought, yeah. Good grief.
I went cue ball.
The whole crew in here.
I'm you know, digging up hats. People are dropping off hats and I'm putting them on. But if you want to be part of this promotion, it's going to be a cool deal. We're going to kick it off on Monday with the AirPro will be our first. And then after that, we'll have different ones. As long as I'm still bald headed, we'll keep it going.
And Ruben started all this with a brand new Opossum Where Art Thou hat.
He did. Absolutely did. The folks at SCI came by and dropped off a hat. I've had other people drop off hats. It's just been a real cool little deal. And so hats off to our community. I'll sport your hat. We'll put pictures up. We'll talk about your business and, you know, it's a real good way to kind of attract a little attention to some businesses that might not otherwise get attention.
So you've got one starting on Monday.
Yes, starting Monday. Okay. So I'm excited about it. I actually went and saw the owner and picked up the hat yesterday. This time he gave me a knit hat. It could be a knit hat if you want, if you got a logo on,
right,
a knit hat,
sure.
Or a ball cap is fine too, whatever you've got. So I'm good with it. Right. I just need hats to keep my bald cue ball warm because it's
cold. Or even
cold.
A logoed, like a do-rag or something.
Logoed do-rag would be good.
Some type of head covering.
And your idea of a temporary tattoo on the head for a little extra, I'm not sure we're going to do that. I'm not sure I'm down with that yet.
Oh, a temporary wouldn't be bad. Now, if you start doing actual tattoos, I think that'd be hilarious.
That's going to cost you way more than this is going to cost you. That's for dang sure. But I'm excited about it. It's a cool little idea our sales department put together. And you know what? It's a spotlight on, we did something good. You know, and you helped. I have to say, the both of you helped. I mean, when y'all get in and we raised money, and because we talked about it so much, we raised a ton of money for Operation Santa Claus, and we helped hundreds of children, and that's all that matters to me. And now all I need is a little help to keep this noggin warm, because it does. It really does get cold.
Right.
Ruben knows the drill. And I'm doing the scrubbing of the head and the face with my face cleanser.
Yeah.
And then scrubbing of the head, and then I'm putting these drops, these oil hydrating drops on the head and rubbing that in and trying to keep it moisturized.
Yeah,
right?
without the natural oil of your hair, it'll dry out on you.
And start flaking and all that?
Yeah.
We don't want that.
Don't want that.
I'm already a big enough flake. Didn't you like my joke? Yeah. Is rain really coming tonight? Is that what the plan looks like?
Tonight and then definitely tomorrow, but then cooler temps finally coming back.
Cueball doesn't need to hear that.
Well, you get a stocking cap ready because, we are going to see a little bit more winter weather.
Okay.
Starting tomorrow and into the weekend. In fact, about freezing. Friday night or Saturday night, I've got to double check. We're going to talk with Richard Llewelling from the Weather Channel after the news top of the hour, and he will give us all the deets, as the kids say.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Ruben, I didn't vote for this freezing weather. I didn't vote for this. I'm definitely not in favor of freezing weather right now, but I'm not sure I'm going to be in favor of this rain, though we do need the rain. I think we're still under a burn ban.
Yes.
In Caddo Parish.
Actually, we are.
Natchitoches, and I think DeSoto maybe as well. So we do need the rain, but we'll see if is it going to be enough. You know,
we'll find out.
We will, definitely.
Richard will. In fact, I spoke with him earlier, and he's checking on some stats for us.
Good.
So he'll be prepared and ready. Right after the local news, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com. KEEL, Mike and McCarty. Winter weather coming back on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. But it is the middle of January, for crying out loud.
Really?
Richard Llewellyn, Weather Channel meteorologist, joining us. Richard, good morning.
Good morning. How are you all this morning?
Well, we're doing very well. Thank you for asking. Hope you are as well. So we're looking at freezing temps coming back.
Yeah, we're going to get some chilly temperatures coming back into the forecast here over the weekend. We've got a weather system that's approaching and already starting to see some rain over in northeast Texas, and we are going to start to see a bump up in the rain chances here as we move on into the late afternoon and evening hours. But I think the bulk of the precipitation, heaviest rains are going to come in tomorrow, where we're going to probably look at about an inch of rain coming in. We need the rain. You know, I was just looking over the numbers. Since December 1st, we've only picked up 1.22 inches of rain here in Shreveport, and we're down nearly 5 inches right now. So we could really use some rain in the rainfall buckets. But I think once we get this rain out of the way, we're going to turn chilly and cold, and there's really nothing beyond that. In fact, looking out all the way out through the 17th, we don't see any rain in the forecast here in Shreveport. So we're going to go back into a nice dry spell and more seasonal January temperatures instead of the summer heat that we've been dealing with here as of late.
Is the rain that we're expecting, is that going to be enough to relieve the drought conditions we're under?
No. We would need three or four of these type systems to come through to try to put a dent in this drought. And, you know, with this system coming in, you know, we are going to get some showers and thunderstorms out of this, and maybe a couple of stronger storms, but this just doesn't look like it's going to be a big rainmaker for us. An inch of rain looks to be pretty optimistic with this. I mean, right now we're calling for 1.14 here in Shreveport through the period ending Saturday morning. So, you know, we're going to pick up some. It's not going to be enough to really try to alleviate some of the burn bans and some of the ongoing drought conditions that we've got across the area right now.
The heat earlier this week, we did set some new records, did we not?
Yeah, Tuesday was, we didn't break the record. We shattered it. It was 83 degrees here in Shreveport on Tuesday. We broke the record by 3 degrees. 80 was the old record set in 1956. Didn't hit a record yesterday. It was just a few degrees cooler. 79 was the record yesterday, set back in 1965. We hit 76 here in Shreveport. We've already had 2 80-degree days so far this year. This is the seventh warmest winter in Shreveport, as long as records have been kept, and they go back to before the Civil War. It's also the fourth driest winter on record here so far in Shreveport. So, you know, this has been one for the books so far. And really, there's no signs that, you know, even though it is going to get chilly over the weekend into next week, there's really no signs of any brutal winter weather coming. You know, daytime temperatures in the 50s and 60s, nighttime lows in the 30s. So, you know, this is not really too bad in regards to what it could be. You know, some places are really seeing some big winter extremes. I was looking at Juneau, Alaska earlier. Since Christmas, they've picked up 7 feet of snow, you know, just since Christmas.
Well, they live in Alaska.
Well, I mean, that's hard to do, though, especially in Juneau, because it's not in the interior. This is, you know, on the Pacific coast, you know, so you're not really getting, you know, the impacts of, you know, mainland Alaska weather. You know, that's one place where they've had a lot of extreme weather. Oswego, New York is another example. They've had 5 feet of snow in just the last 4 or 5 days or so, and it's just basically brought those places to a standstill. you know, some places have, you know, have really seen some extreme winter, but, you know, not us here in the South. In fact, it's just relatively mild temperatures and, you know, and some record warmth from time to time.
What can you pinpoint what's causing this January heat? I mean, if you, I mean, you're the meteorologist, what's the problem?
I didn't pay the electric bill. No, but seriously, you know, we've been kind of in this La Nina going into a neutral phase, you know, kind of leaning back toward El Nino again, you know. So, you know, this has been kind of one of those, you know, marginal winters that we've been dealing with here as of late. You know, we saw a similar situation, you know, back 6 or 7 years ago. Seem to get this about every 6 or 7 years here where we get, you know, kind of a marginal winter. And that's what we're dealing with here right now. You know, this is definitely not going to be one for the extremes. And, you know, looking at the Climate Prediction Center's outlook for the next, you know, month or so, just to kind of get an idea of what we can expect. It looks like the dry conditions are going to continue for the Arklatex in the next week to 10 days. There are some indications, though, that we are going to start to see some above normal precipitation coming up, you know, after MLK Day and going on into the 20th to 30th. You know, some of the models have been indicating there could be a huge ice storm that develops across the South as we move into that period. Of course, that's still out there in the land of voodoo, and we're not talking about that yet.
Speaking of voodoo, we got Mardi Gras coming up. We have some pretty big parades, February 7th, February 14th, those couple of weekends. Is it too early to predict anything for them?
Yeah, it's still kind of early for that. The indications are it's going to be relatively dry. What we can see toward the end of the month, you know, out, 26th through 30th right now, that's still kind of way out there in the range. You know, we're still a month away from that point. So that's kind of way a little bit too far out there. But the indications are February and March are going to probably be another couple of warm months coming up. So, you know, those were looking for winter. It just doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon.
Richard Lewelling with the Weather Channel. Richard, thanks for jumping on with us, keeping us posted.
Thanks, guys. You have a great day.
Mm-hmm. We will talk to you soon. Coming up in about 20 minutes or so, John Atkins, Caddo Parish Commissioner, joining us, talking about their agenda and pickleball. Mm-hmm. Again, mm-hmm. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, I saw Bobby Kennedy yesterday announcing a new food pyramid. It's like an inverted food pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
And they've announced new federal health food guidelines.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they said, if I'm remembering correctly, Bluebell ice cream is now at the top of the food pyramid.
Not quite.
And Southern Made donuts.
None. Not quite.
No.
No. No. Southern Made's not on there at all.
Well, then that's completely invalid. Then.
Bluebell might be on there, but Southern Made
Bluebell's
is not.
Bluebell's healthy. It's got. Milk and
yeah,
cream.
He is pushing milk, dairy products, and red meats.
See,
he is really saying the ultra processed foods and added sugar need to go, and we need to pay close attention to it. And I told you a story when I was coming back from San Antonio. I don't know why I don't drink chocolate milk very often, but I was craving chocolate milk. And you know those gas station places that you pull into to fill up? I was waiting to fill up and go to the potty, and I said, I want chocolate milk. And I went to the cooler, and they have those bottles of Nestle chocolate milk. And so I said, perfect, that's what I want. I had water in the car, but I needed a chocolate milk.
Wait, needed a chocolate milk.
Yes, sometimes women have needs, Mike. If you haven't learned that yet... How are you still married? But anyway, I get the chocolate milk and I down it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And then I decide, man, that was good. Let me look and see what I just drank. So I turned it around and look at the nutrition label.
And there's a reason it's so good.
There is a reason it is so good. 39 grams of sugar.
Oh, my gosh.
You know how much sugar you, a full-grown man, should be eating in a day? How many grams of sugar in a day should you be eating? 39 is your max. For me, it's about 30.
So that one chocolate
drink
milk
was a man-sized portion of sugar. For the whole day.
Right.
We don't realize. And then I started looking at my Greek yogurt that I eat every morning. And it had like 12. And I thought, holy cow. So I've changed the yogurt I'm eating. I'm looking at those sugar labels. We eat way too much sugar.
It adds up, doesn't it?
You don't even realize what it's all in. It's in so much stuff. And so I understand that point. I'm a little worried about he's pushing whole fat dairy and red meat. And that's something the American Heart Association and others have concerns about, because they say for some people that can contribute to heart disease.
Bacon is back on the list, right?
Bacon's back on the list. Okay, bacon's a red meat, isn't it? Don't laugh at me. Didn't they say bacon, question, the new white meat? I don't know. Yeah, bacon's a red meat. But yeah, you need to know.
Because pork
if you're
would
a
not
heart
be considered
risk.
A red meat.
Yes, absolutely. I'm playing. But
I know, but bacon is red.
Mm-hmm. If we start seeing heart disease spike, we need to go, was this such a good idea? Should we really have done that? I don't know.
Right.
And I do limit my red meat to about 3 times a week. I usually try. And one of those 3 times is typically going to be bacon, which is the worst you can eat. And I understand that and I know it, but I do love bacon. So I do eat it every so often. Once a week, maybe.
Bacon makes everything better.
I know.
It's like butter.
And what was Ruben saying today? Because your wife made something for us today that,
Ruben,
oh my gosh.
Okay, my wife, last night, she says, I'm making a bananas Foster pineapple upside down cake.
Those are sugar. All words I like.
Yeah, sugar free.
It's like honey butter chicken biscuit. Those are a lot of my favorite words all in a row.
Nothing that you just said. Repeat it again.
Honey butter chicken biscuit.
None of those things are on Kennedy's list. I don't think so. I don't think those are good.
Okay, the only thing that would make a honey butter chicken biscuit better.
I'm waiting.
Bacon.
Oh, of course.
Throw some bacon on top.
Throw some bacon in that baby.
I'm just wondering, this piece of cake that you gave me, I'm sitting here drooling over it.
Oh, it's so good.
I wonder how much sugar. It's hard.
There's no sugar.
No sugar.
No
okay,
carbs.
Good. No sugar, no carbs. Good to know. Good. Then I can steal Reuben's too.
Yeah. And a bananas Foster pineapple upside down cake.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no
sugar.
No sugar in that at all.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. She knocked it out of the park on that one.
Oh, and every year you gotta pay attention to that nutrition. And I know, been going to the gym and we're seeing a lot of new people at the gym. And that's great. That's wonderful that people are working out, but you got to check the food too. We eat stuff and not realize. You eat a bag of Cheetos and freaking Cheetos has sugar.
Well, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But your body also takes those carbs like potatoes and transforms them into sugar.
Yes.
For energy.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm eating a ton of chicken. I'm the roasted chicken. I get that all the time and I love that, and I'm eating a ton of fruit. Y'all know I buy my fruit already ready for me. I buy my oranges pre-peeled, okay? Hush up. Leave me alone. So then I can go into the little tub, and I got my oranges already ready to go, and my cantaloupes already chopped up. I've got all the strawberries already cleaned, and they're in their little tubs. So I just grab – and I actually buy some frozen berries, too, that I throw in my yogurt in the morning. So I'm trying.
New guidelines calls for a dramatic reduction of the highly processed foods.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not new.
No.
Because if you remember, was it the 90s when the Atkins diet became popular?
Oh, yeah.
And people were cutting carbs and talking about eating bacon and eggs.
Oh, big old steaks, yeah.
And losing 50 pounds.
Yes. It was nuts.
It was the carb reduction. Mm-hmm. So that's not new.
Right.
But these refined sugars. And I remember hearing something about that when that was popular, because they were saying, if you look at the history of man,
mm-hmm.
and the overall health issues, when these major problems started was with the advent of processed flour,
yeah,
and processed sugar.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you started having diabetes and overweight.
You're right.
And the heart issues. It was the overprocessed foods.
Absolutely. No doubt.
So, not new, but mm-hmm. it's interesting.
Yeah.
John Atkins, Caddo Parish Commissioner, joining us in about 10 minutes, talking about their agenda on the meeting today, including the revenue bonds
mm-hmm.
for the new park.
Mm-hmm.
See what I said? See what I didn't say there?
You left that big word out.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Are pickles on the list, by the way?
Maybe. I don't know.
Pickles, yeah. 101.7 FM, 710 KEO.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEO.
With the advent of all of this, okay, like YouTube TV or Hulu with live TV,
mm-hmm.
and Ruben helped me out because apparently I'm that guy now. I'm the old guy. I don't know what channel I'm on anymore.
Oh, I get it. Yeah.
You just see the program
mm-hmm.
or, say, the football game.
Yep.
And, Aaron, I've sat and watched a game for 6 minutes and realized, well, this is a damn rebroadcast. This isn't even a live
it's
game.
It's not a live game. That's funny. That's funny.
I'm like, wait a minute. Wait. This.
Yeah. Yeah.
This has already happened, and I'm looking mm-hmm. it up. Oh, yeah. Well, they won. So.
Right. Exactly.
So tonight, there is a live game.
Yes.
It's actual.
Big game.
Ole Miss
in Miami in the Fiesta Bowl. That's in Arizona, correct? And then tomorrow night, it's number one Indiana and Oregon in the Peach Bowl. I have a question about that. Real quick here. Are all these kind of indoor stadiums? I know the Peach Bowl's indoor. Because I wonder if it gives an unfair advantage to one team or another if it's indoor or outdoor. I mean, do they consider that when they set up these matchups?
I think if there's an outdoor stadium in Green Bay,
mm-hmm.
those teams would have more of an advantage than, say, the Falcons or the Saints.
Sure. But I wonder if the college playoffs, if to be one of those playoff locations, you have to have an indoor arena. I'm not sure. Is the Fiesta Bowl indoor? I don't know that. I'm not sure. I have to look it up.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not a good question.
I don't know if it matters.
I'm kind of pulling for Indiana.
I am too.
I always pull for the SEC,
mm-hmm.
unless it's Alabama.
I'd be okay with Ole Miss winning.
I don't have a problem with Ole Miss winning.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of pulling for Indiana.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What a story.
Definitely. It would be a big story.
Caddo Parish Commissioner John Atkins right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app.
Back Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Parish Commission meeting today on the agenda, the sale of the revenue bonds for the new park.
Mm-hmm.
And Commissioner John Atkins on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. John, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Doing very well. Thanks for jumping on with us this morning. On the agenda, the revenue bond sale for the new park, the pickleball park. How do you expect that vote to go today to actually sell these bonds?
Well, you know, we've already gone through the bulk of this discussion on the commission, and we have generally expressed support for the project, so I expect it to be approved in today's meeting.
I'm curious about the planning and the drawings for the proposed park. Do you do any of that prior to these bonds being sold? What's kind of put the cart before the horse for me here?
Well, you know, at this point, we're just putting the works in place to actually raise the bonds to execute the sale. We're not spending any money. We're not committing to spending any money. So these bonds will be sold. The proceeds from the $10 million bond will effectively be put in the bank accounts of the parish and held there until the final plans can be developed and all the details can be worked through, and then the money will be spent over time. You know, it's not this, the money is being raised for any public capital project. So these aren't being raised specifically. I mean, we're targeting the pickleball park for this capital raise, but you know, we're not, this money is not exclusively committed to any one project. It could be used for any public facility.
So it's not guaranteed that we're going to get a pickleball park yet.
It's not guaranteed. I mean, we're still working through all those details. We want to make sure that we get all that right before we start spending money. Now, there'll be a little money spent, you know, some of this money will be spent on the front end to pay architects and advisors on construction, you know, to get to do the work needed to ensure that that the work is done appropriately and as is desired by the administration.
But that doesn't mean this money can be used to repair roads or
that's correct.
Something like that.
Well, you know, this each aspect of the commission has its own budgets and its own funds. So this money is not going into either of those specific funds. It's not going into the Public Works Fund or it's not going into the Juvenile Services Fund. It'll be held on the side for a capital project. Now, that being said, if the pickleball park doesn't materialize, I'm sure that there's a way to reallocate those funds to another capital project, but I'm not sure exactly how those details would work.
The state law says any government entity may issue revenue bonds to, quote, construct, acquire, extend, or improve any system or work of public improvement. It goes on to talk about that there has to be some revenue attached to that. So fixing a road, there's no revenue attached to that unless you make it a toll road or something like that, correct?
Correct.
Okay. But
and we have no plans for toll roads by the parish at the moment.
Not by the parish, certainly not. I mean, there is a toll bridge being considered by a third party, but it wouldn't be a parish bridge.
Are you convinced, as we talk today, Caddo Commissioner John Atkins, that the pickleball project, if we move forward with it and we get the 19 courts like we've proposed in Southeast Shreveport near the Y, that it will bring in enough revenue to pay off these bonds?
Well, I've looked at the projections, and the projections indicate that at a 40% utilization during regular playing hours, that the revenue from the project and associated sales from the facility would pay off the principal and interest on an annual basis. I've also stress test those assumptions, and if utilization were to be as low as 20%, then we would fall short by a couple $100,000 a year on meeting our debt and principal obligations and operating costs.
But if we fall short, where does that money come from then?
Well, it could come from any number of sources. First of all, the parish has over $200 million in reserves. Second of all, we have non-tax revenue associated with oil and gas income, which, you know, ranges from year to year, but it's been as low as a couple $1 million a year over my tenure and as high as over $5 million a year during my tenure. And those monies are discretionary. They can be spent in a discretionary way. Oftentimes they're spent currently on NGO type projects. So in a worst case scenario, that 20% utilization scenario, there's more than enough money in the oil and gas, annual oil and gas revenues to absorb that shortfall.
But does that revenue include money? You say that's a daily usage projection. What about the tournaments that will be coming in?
I mean,
does that include those tournament and the income from that?
Are you talking about the direct income into the pickleball park, or are you talking about the associated income that would occur at restaurants and hotels and things of that nature?
Well, no, that's an ancillary benefit. I'm talking about the direct income from those tournaments. Is that revenue generated include that?
Yeah, the numbers that I did were just assuming a flat 40% utilization. It all average out, but it's a flat 40% utilization over the course of a year, not incorporating any variance for overutilization during tournaments and things like that. I mean, those tournaments will occur. They will occur several times a year, but over the course of a year, I assumed it would all average out to that 40% utilization. That's what the parish assumed, and then I double stress test it to 20% utilization without any variance for tournaments.
Well, let me ask you one more thing, because there are a lot of people that have talked about, where did we get this $10 million price tag? We really are not completely certain what this is going to cost for 19 courts. It could come in far under that. It could come in a little over that. That's the thing. Once we get to the design stage, we'll try to figure out what it really will cost, right?
That's right, Aaron. You know, think about it. Whenever, you know, if you're going to build a house, you've got to hire an architect and hire a builder, and there's certain front-end costs that go into planning for that project. So this bond money is being raised to help, so we'll have some money available on the front end to properly design the project and properly plan for the project, because your costs begin before the actual construction phase begins. You know, you've got a lot of planning costs before the actual construction phase begins. But I've continued to say that $10 million feels like an awfully large number to me for the project that's being undertaken. I've encouraged our administration to, look at value engineering opportunities to push the cost of the project down. So the $10 million is that's not a budgetary number. I mean, that number has a lot of fluff in it. And I continue to encourage the parish to strive to push that number down.
So the vote today on whether or not to sell the bonds, say that passes, how long before the money's in the bank and we take the next step? And what is the next step?
Well, I don't know the details on how long it actually takes to market the bonds and get the money in the bank, but I'm going to guess 3 months, 3 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, the next steps, as I mentioned earlier, are to hire an architect and planners to really scrutinize the rough architectural plans we have, and to really work through those numbers and look at ways to optimize that design to get the most bang for our buck moving forward.
Caddo Commissioner John Atkins, thanks for your time, sir.
Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, streaming worldwide with the Keel app, 101.7 FM.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
This might top the story of when a friend of mine was in Destin, Florida.
Okay.
And she's on the beach with her little umbrella drink, whatever it was, and day drinking. Yeah, they were day drinking. That's all right. I'm good with that.
It doesn't count if you're in Florida.
Yeah, though. Exactly. If your toes are in the sand, I don't care what you're drinking.
Wasting away in Margaritaville.
Texted me and said, I'm listening to you on the beach in Destin. I wanted to slap her in the head. I couldn't do it. She was on the beach. I run into Laura Seabaugh at the Republican luncheon on Tuesday.
Okay.
And after she comes up to me, and of course I showed her my bald head, and she goes, I want to tell you a story. And I said, okay. She goes, me and Alan were in London recently for a business trip. And any time of the morning when we woke up, there are 8 hours ahead of us in London or whatever. I don't know. She goes, I had to put on y'all's podcast from the most recent podcast, so I would feel like I was back home. So each morning while she's in London, she turns on our podcast and listens to Mike and McCarty on demand in London. It might have been the day before's broadcast. I don't know. But listen to it every day. And I thought, wow, So when you say we're worldwide, we really are. I mean, there are people, I know folks in the military listen, that miss home. They're from here and they miss home, or maybe they've lived here for a time. And I'm like, wow. So good morning, London.
It's an amazing time in which we live.
It really is. And if you ever miss a guest, like somebody the other day said they missed a certain guest and they wish they could hear it, it's on our podcast.
Right.
Just go to the website or the app and click on Mike and McCarty On Demand. And you can go listen to the whole show. You can listen to a part of it.
Well, you can download it.
You can.
And you can listen however you want. You want to stop, go go eat lunch, come back. It's amazing.
Our buddy Chris Crackman on the Caddo Parish Commission, he's the best at that because people are like, I want to share. He knows how to share pieces of our show. And so when he's on, he shares the segments where he's on. So there, get you a young person like that who knows how to do it. You can share it.
You know, my buddy Jeff Luce, who comes in when you're out a lot now, he's on a cruise with his wife.
Oh, nice.
And texted me and said, hey, by the way, on such and such and such, and he's listening on the cruise.
Wow. Wow.
In the Bahamas or whatever.
He must bought that expensive Wi-Fi package or whatever, which I never do because I want to be disconnected. Oh, man. Yeah. Well, I hope he's having fun. I hope he's having a good time.
They love it. They go... They're veterans on the cruise thing.
Right. Yeah. I need to go on another cruise. I'm ready. I am ready. So ready. So anyway, I got to plan one.
Well, soon. I'm not as opposed as I was. I think with the proper precautions, although he did get back and he says, because when we talked about it one time, I said, it's just a floating Petri dish.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And he goes, I've never gotten sick. All the cruises they've gone on over the years, he and his wife and family.
Yeah.
And then the last one, he came back, he goes, I wanted to punch you in the throat. I said, what? He goes, I got sick.
Oh, man.
He says, but I think it was not from the ship. Oh. It was one of the ports where they went in and he ate something that didn't agree with him.
Well, I got the last one I was on, my brother was with me and we landed in Los Angeles and he was going to stay for a few extra days because we have a cousin out there and I had to come back to work. And so he texted me as I'm at the airport getting ready to board my plane. He texted me, he goes, oh, how are you feeling? And I went, I'm fine. He goes, I can't get out of bed.
Oh,
he didn't even get to go visit our cousin because he got so ill. He got a real nasty case of the flu, and he was like, I can't go anywhere. I got to stay in a hotel.
Dadgummit.
And I'm glad I didn't get it because it's been nasty. That's for sure.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Seven FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. I'm trying to think how I can tell this story because when we were talking earlier about Laura Seaball listening to us in London, it's just amazing how small the world is.
Right, right.
And my daughter, she lives in Florida, works for SpaceX.
Mm-hmm.
She has to go to California. SpaceX has not offices, but locations down in South Texas along the coast, obviously. And they have locations in California.
Right.
They have one on the coast out there, one in Los Angeles. The base, the headquarters is in Los Angeles.
Okay.
That's Hawthorne. And then they have the launch site, which is up a little bit further north. So she was out in Hawthorne. I don't know one of the times she was out there, and a lot of as you can imagine, a lot of these are kids,
sure,
that work there, and she was talking to one of the engineers, one of the young guys. They were just talking, and it came up that she was from Shreveport.
Okay,
and he goes, oh, my parents live in Denver now.
Right.
But they're from Shreveport.
Wow.
And I don't want to say names, but I'm talking prominent families, like streets named after
and
stores named after.
Right.
Okay.
Like the Parkway family.
Right. Exactly. The I-20 family.
The airline family.
These are prominent families.
Okay.
In Shreveport that you would recognize the names immediately.
Sure.
Dina had an uncle who was unfortunately murdered in the mid-80s, Isidore Roseman.
Remember the case.
Right. He was a watchmaker and a jeweler and a clockmaker. Let me see if I can get this now. So they got to talking about this guy's parents being from Shreveport, but they live in Colorado, in I think Denver now.
Okay.
And he had a picture of a clock, Aaron. Said, my dad loves this clock. This was his dad's clock, and my dad treasures it. They packed it and took it to Denver when they moved to Denver. And Micah said, well, my mom's uncle worked on, and so Micah was telling my wife this story about this clock that is now in Denver, Colorado, mm-hmm. from a kid in California who I don't think's ever been to Shreveport.
Right.
And Dina goes, Uncle Prince used to take me to their house when we were kids because he was in charge of all of their clocks. Ask your dad about Aaron. The man took the face off, took the clock off. Uncle Prince's name was in the back of the clock. That was one of his clocks. Which is now in Colorado.
And she has a coworker in California that the clock conversation came up.
And it was her uncle that worked on that
That's
clock.
Like, woo, woo, woo.
He would go and wind all their clocks and maintenance them. And that's one of the clocks that Uncle Prince used to work on
and
in their house.
Still have it.
And the dad still has the clock that he absolutely loves.
Oh, that's an amazing
story. I just
story.
Got chills when they told me that.
I'm sure she's freaking out, like, oh my gosh.
That's my mom's uncle.
Yes. Holy
Is that crazy?
Cow. That's when you realize it really is a small world. It really
but,
is.
But I mean, what are the odds
of that happening? You're
that
right.
even coming about.
I know.
And from some kid that Mike has never met before.
Who and they ends work up, for the same company. Yeah.
Parents ended up being from Shreveport.
Jeez.
And has a clock that's
incredible.
That our family member used to work on and take care of.
Holy cow. That is incredible. That really is.
I just love that.
Amazing. She's back in Florida now, right?
She's in Florida now. I think she has to go back out not too long from now.
Okay.
But it's, yeah. I just thought that was fascinating.
That is a fascinating story. Man. You never know.
Yeah, and I know I probably missed something, but so now there's this engineer in California. There's this kind of connection.
Sure, absolutely. And, I'm sure they'll stay in touch.
And it just got me thinking, Aaron, out of all the crap that's going on,
mm-hmm.
I go back to we have a lot more in common than we have apart.
Yeah, that's so true. That is such a great point.
And if we just would just talk.
Yes.
Just talk.
And we're going to disagree. We just don't have to be horrible about it.
We don't have to be hateful.
I can respectfully disagree with you. I think that your opinion is your opinion, but sometimes I disagree with you.
And you have the right to be wrong.
And that doesn't make me a mean person. I get
right.
You know what I mean? Doesn't make me an evil person because I disagree with you. And we've come to that. You're an evil, bad human being if you don't think like I think. How did we get there?
Well, I can tell you, but that's a whole other.
Yeah.
That's an entirely different. Mm-hmm. But I just thought that was just such a wonderful story.
Yeah.
This kid in Hawthorne, California with connections to Shreveport and our family.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable is right.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and take us anywhere on that free Keel app.
For breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. We haven't talked about this. There's just a tragic situation in Minneapolis, which, frankly, Minneapolis continues to deteriorate.
Yes. She was one of the protesters. She apparently was the ICE agents. Her vehicle, her SUV, was kind of crossways across the street.
Well, and let's clarify by saying this is a woman who was shot and killed.
Yes,
by an ICE agent.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes,
and witnesses state she was being obstructive.
She was being obstructive.
She parked there to block ICE agents,
and her vehicle was crossways across the roadway.
Right.
When they got out of their vehicles and approached her vehicle, she backed up. And then she started to go forward to get out of there. She was going to leave. And an ICE agent had come from a vehicle in front of her, and he was in front of her vehicle as her vehicle is moving toward him. And he opened fire, killing her. She ended up wrecking, you know, less than 100 feet away into another car. She has died. She was the mother of three. There are reports saying she's relatively new to the city. But I mean, protester now, we've been watching it. Ruben and I were, protests have now broken out in a lot of big cities all around the country as a result of this.
Well, and the mayor specifically is really fanning the flames.
Right. Did the ICE agents overreact? You know, it's not my decision to judge that. It's not for us to judge that. It is for somebody with, you know, the expertise to look at the footage, the body cam footage, and determine, you know, did he fear for his life? If you're in an SUV and I'm in front of your SUV and you start to back up and then come forward at me, I might fear for my life.
It did hit him, by the way. The car did hit him.
Some say it did, some say it didn't. There's dispute about it. Could he have jumped out of the way? Ruben and I were talking about that too, possibly. Did it happen too fast to jump out of the way? That's the other part of this. So we're quick to judge and jump to conclusions. But the tragedy is that a young mother is dead. A young mother of three is dead. And the mayor even said, you know, get, and maybe the governor too, get ICE out of our, we don't want you here. Go away. Well, we got to abide by the law.
Thank you. This could have been avoided.
Mm-hmm.
She was blocking law enforcement actions.
Right.
And when they approached her, had she complied, this all could have been avoided. Had she not been breaking the law by impeding law enforcement actions to begin with,
right,
this could have been avoided.
And I'm the first to say you have a right to protest. We all do.
Sure.
Do you have a right to block traffic? No, you don't. There are rules with regarding peaceful protests, and blocking traffic is not one of the in one of those okay scenarios. And that's the thing. But it to me, whether you think the ICE agents were wrong or you think they were right, it's tragic, Mike.
It is tragic. It's tragic all around.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it could have been avoided.
Yes.
I will always, unlike the national media, I'm always going to err on the side of law enforcement.
Right, right. I get that.
I've seen some of the video footage. I'm withholding judgment. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's very easy for us to sit and talk about and make decisions when we're not faced with a possible life-threatening situation and you have to make a decision within a quarter of a second.
Split second, yeah.
So which is what these guys, this was a well-trained ICE agent officer. It wasn't a newbie or a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be a lot that will be going into taken into account. But the sad thing is the fact that the first reaction is hatred toward law enforcement.
Right. Exactly.
To me, where we are in this country is it's not only sad, it's very scary.
You're absolutely right. There's no doubt about it.
That's the first reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Hatred toward law enforcement.
And nasty signs that you're holding up that, you know what, we have laws in the country. If you don't like the laws, get them changed.
Well, and for the left to say, they're destroying families, they're taking innocent, that's not the case. They're simply enforcing our existing federal immigration laws. They're not making this stuff up.
No.
They didn't wake up and go, let me see who I can go hassle today.
Right, exactly. And that officer today that killed a woman, think about him today too. He's dealing with the fact that he killed a woman. He didn't wake up in the morning and go, I think I'm going to go kill somebody today. There's no police officer in their right mind that would want to do that.
Exactly.
And if you think they do, that's baloney.
That's what a lot of people are being told, Aaron.
That they're out to go out and kill people. That's just crazy. That's just nuts.
It's crazy and it's sad and it's scary. It
really is.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Caddo Parish Commissioner John Ekins spoke to us a little bit earlier this morning about the meeting today on the agenda, the vote for the revenue bonds for the pickleball park. Hear what he's got to say right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Caddo Parish Commission meeting today on the agenda, the sale of the revenue bonds for the new park.
Mm-hmm.
Commissioner John Ekins on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. John, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Doing very well. Thanks for jumping on with us this morning. On the agenda, the revenue bond sale for the new park, the pickleball park. How do you expect that vote to go today to actually sell these bonds?
Well, you know, we've already gone through the bulk of this session on the commission, and we have generally expressed support for the project, so I expect it to be approved in today's meeting.
I'm curious about the planning and the drawings for the proposed park. Of that prior to these bonds being sold? What's kind of put the cart before the horse for me here?
Well, you know, at this point, we're just putting the works in place to actually raise the bonds to execute the sale. We're not spending any money. We're not committing to spending any money. So these bonds will be sold. The proceeds from the $10 million bond will effectively be put in the bank accounts of the parish and held there until the final plans can be developed and all the details can be worked through. And then the money will be spent over time. You know, it's not this, the money is being raised for any public capital project. So these aren't being raised specifically. I mean, we're targeting the pickleball park for this capital raise, but you know, this money is not exclusively committed to any one project. It could be used for any public facility.
So it's not guaranteed that we're going to get a pickleball park yet.
It's not guaranteed. I mean, we're still working through all those details. We want to make sure that we get all that right before we start spending money. Now, there'll be a little money spent. You know, some of this money will be spent on the front end to pay architects and advisors on construction. to get to do the work needed to ensure that that the work is done appropriately and as is desired by the administration.
But that doesn't mean this money can be used to repair roads or
that's correct.
Something like that.
Well, you know, this each aspect of the commission has its own budgets and its own funds. So this money is not going into either of those specific funds. It's not going into the Public Works Fund, or it's not going into the Juvenile Services Fund. It'll be held on the side for a capital project. Now, that being said, if the pickleball park doesn't materialize, I'm sure that there's a way to reallocate those funds to another capital project, but I'm not sure exactly how those details would work.
The state law says any government entity may issue revenue bonds to, quote, construct, acquire, extend, or improve any system or work of public improvement. It goes on to talk about that there has to be some revenue attached to that. So fixing a road, there's no revenue attached to that unless you make it a toll road or something like that, correct?
Correct.
Okay. But
and we have no plans for toll roads by the parish at the moment.
Not by the parish, certainly not. I mean, there is a toll bridge being considered by a third party, but it wouldn't be a parish bridge.
Are you convinced, as we talk today, Caddo Commissioner John Atkins, that the pickleball project, if we move forward with it and we get the 19 courts like we've proposed in Southeast Shreveport near the Y, that it will bring in enough revenue to pay off these bonds?
Well, I've looked at the projections, and the projections indicate that at a 40% utilization during regular playing hours, that the revenue from the project and associated sales from the facility would pay off the principal and interest on an annual basis. I've also stress test those assumptions, and if utilization were to be as low as 20%, then we would fall a couple $100,000 a year on meeting our debt and principal obligations and operating costs.
But if we fall short, where does that money come from then?
Well, it could come from any number of sources. First of all, the parish has over $200 million in reserve. Second of all, we have non-tax revenue associated with oil and gas income, which, you know, ranges from year to year, but it's been as low as a couple million dollars a year over my tenure and as high as over $5 million a year during my tenure. And those monies are discretionary. They can be spent in a discretionary way. Oftentimes they're spent currently on NGO type projects. So in a worst case scenario, that 20 station scenario, there's more than enough money in the oil and gas, annual oil and gas revenues to absorb that shortfall.
But does that revenue include money? You say that's a daily usage projection. What about the tournaments that will be coming in? Does that include those tournament and the income from that?
Are you talking about the direct income into the pickleball park, or are you talking about the associated income that would occur at restaurants and hotels and things of that nature?
Well, no, that's an ancillary benefit. I'm talking about the direct income from those tournaments. Does that revenue generated include that?
Yeah, the numbers that I did were just assuming a flat 40% utilization, it all average out, but it's a flat 40% utilization over the course of a year, not incorporating any variance for overutilization during tournaments and things like that. I mean, those tournaments will occur several times a year, but you know, over the course of a year, I assumed it would all average out to that 40% utilization. That's what the parish assumed. And then I double stress test it to 20% utilization without any variance for tournaments.
But let me ask you one more thing, because there are a lot of people that have talked about, where did we get this $10 million price tag? we really are not completely certain what this is going to cost for 19 courts. I mean, it could come in far under that. It could come in a little over that. That's the thing. Once we get right to the design stage, we'll try to figure out what it really will cost, right?
That's right, Aaron. You know, think about it. Whenever, you know, if you're going to build a house, you've got to hire an architect and hire a builder, and there's certain front-end costs that go into planning for that project. So these bonds are being, this bond money is being raised to help, you know, so we'll have some money available on the front end to properly design the project and properly plan for the project, because your costs begin before the actual construction phase begins. You know, you've got a lot of planning costs before the actual construction phase begins. But I've continued to say that $10 million feels like an awfully large number to me for the project that's being undertaken. I've encouraged our administration to, you know, look at value engineering opportunities to push the cost of the project down. So the $10 million is a, you know, that's not a budgetary number. I mean, that number has a lot of fluff in it, and I continue to encourage the parish to strive to push that number down.
So the vote today on whether or not to sell the bonds, say that passes, how long before the money's in the bank and we take the next step? And what is the next step?
Well, I don't know the details on how long it actually takes to market the bonds and get the money in the bank, but I'm going to guess 3 months, you know, 3 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, the next steps, as I mentioned earlier, are to hire an architect and planners to really scrutinize the rough architectural plans we have, and to really work through those numbers and look at ways to optimize that design to get the most bang for our buck moving forward.
Caddo Commissioner John Atkins, thanks for your time, sir.
Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, streaming worldwide with the Keel app. 101.7 FM.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
One oh one seven FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. I've talked before about first of all, we were talking earlier about the degradation of our society. But when you go to movies,
you don't have to bring my band into this, man.
No, you know what you're getting. You know what you're getting. I didn't the first time I listened, which I sort of did. No, I'm talking about people and even concerts, man. Just people, this, I hate to say entitlement society, this entitlement mentality that we have now as a society in whole. And this isn't relegated to one race or one gender or one specific type of person. This is everybody.
Right, right. Everybody's fallen into it now.
When we go to, we went to the movies. I'm trying to think of what movie. Oh, the Neil Diamond.
The Neil Diamond movie, yeah.
Song Sung Blue, which
turned out to not be a Neil Diamond movie at all.
It's not a Neil Diamond biopic.
Blew my mind.
Like I was thinking, but it was a great movie. If you haven't seen it, I do encourage you. We went to the Robinson.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And so...
I love the Robinson.
We do too. I'm trying to think if we had to select our seats. I think we did. I always try to sit in the back row now. Because...
Yeah.
We were at a concert at the Strand. Great seats.
Oh, man.
Lower balcony, front row of the lower balcony.
There's not really a bad seat in the Strand.
No, not at all. But these are the best of the best.
Right.
because you're literally just looking right over the stage. And it was, and I think we talked about it, the Beatles versus the Rolling Stones, those tribute bands, and it was just fun. And the people behind us weren't kids. I mean, these were 60, 70-year-old women.
Old enough to know better.
Carrying on a conversation like they're in their living room.
Ugh.
And I saw a story about shushing people in public. And I don't think I've ever been shushed in public, getting shushed by a stranger, because I think I have enough self-awareness. Now my wife has gone, shh, shut up. I've gotten the elbow from my wife before, but I'm just leaning over talking to her, and I think she's more wanting to enjoy whatever we were doing, but never by a stranger,
right?
And I have done it. At the Strand that night, I turned around and I said, "Could you please?"
Well, you just get sick of it after a while.
I almost got in a fight.
It's like, I paid to be here.
Exactly. And that's what I said. I said, "Look, I didn't pay this money to listen to you guys have a conversation." And the guy who was also my age or older, "Hey, they're just having fun." I said, "Well, I'm trying to have fun too by enjoying the show I paid for."
Right. Watching the show and not hearing you guys gab about it the whole time.
And so, am I wrong?
No.
By trying to shush them, am I the butthead?
Absolutely not. No. And you know,
the guy looks at me like I'm the jerk.
And you do see it. You are seeing it everywhere now. The last movie I went to go see, which granted it was a crazy slasher movie that didn't turn out to be that good, but there was a whole family of people in the theater talking and hooping and hollering and making a mess, and it was frustrating. But you know where I don't see that? Live local shows. Where it's a local band at
okay,
a bar.
Okay, well, playing. Maybe I need to see more of those.
I'm not seeing it there.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing the obnoxious behavior at the local shows. It's only at these, you know, I say highfalutin. I don't know if the Stones versus the Beatles is highfalutin.
No, it's not highfalutin.
But for us, it's highfalutin. For musicians, that's a highfalutin, high-paying gig.
Right,
you know, but
sure.
At these local shows, you know, people for the most part are behaving themselves and enjoying themselves and enjoying the music. The last big show I went to at the Capri Theater, it was my friends with Good Spirits and my friends with Sauce. And it was a fantastic show. Nobody was obnoxious. Nobody got too drunk. Nobody had to be thrown out. It was great.
Yeah.
But I go to the theater or I go to one of these huge shows, there's always somebody being
obnoxious. It's this entitlement. Hey, I've got a right. Well, no, you really don't
have a right to ruin everybody else's time. So you can talk or whatever you're doing.
Anyway, I refuse to accept the mantle of me being the jerk because I want you to shut up during the show.
Right. Correct. I'm on your side.
Okay. Thank you very much. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.